going live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Good morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this very chilly morning?
You said it. The temperature is 15 degrees. I'm blessed. Whew. I have a roof over my head.
Right. Amen. And I'm just happy to say I got heat. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody
Amen.
Is not in shelter today. Somebody is worried about where they're going to sleep, what they're going to eat, how they're going to stay warm. And all we
Amen.
Can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to say today, you know, we didn't have, what is it, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Today is Giving Tuesday. And I just want to throw out there, help somebody today. You know, do something today for charity, whether it's your time, your talent, your tent. Give back because God has given us so much. You know, if it's given to a food pantry, you know, my church, we have one, and we're always looking for donations at Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 5th Street, Hope Food Pantry, always looking for donations. You know, I donate to the Salvation Army, that helped me as a child. I was able to experience so many things like camp and scouting and ministry and travel and all the things that I would never have had opportunity to do had I not been involved with the Salvation Army. And God rest her soul, I thank Miss Ruth for coming and speaking to my parents and asking if I could be a part of the Girl Guards, which was a ministry in itself. She was my sewing teacher in the Boys and Girls Club. This was before they joined them together with just the Girls Club at that time. And so I just wanted to say, you never know what life you're impacting just by giving in kindness. She gave her time. And she gave her time to all of us girls who grew up at the Salvation Army Girl Guard. And so I thank God for Miss Ruth. I thank God for the Salvation Army. And I thank God that I was able to be who I am because of them. And you have to give back. So on this day of giving, like I said, I told about our ministry. We feed hundreds of people every week. Through our backpack program, we feed people. Through our just being who we are, an awesome church that gives to our community. So I say today, on this day of giving, don't forget to give to your church, because charity begins at home. Don't forget to give
Amen.
To those in your family that may be in need. Just be kind. Be generous. Be giving. Because God gave us the best gift we could ever have. gave us his son, who loved us more than we could ever imagine, more we could ever ask or think, gave us Jesus. And the word that God gave me for this morning is be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. We don't know the day, the time, the hour that the Lord is coming back, but we know he is coming back. But God wants us to be cheerful givers. So on this day of giving, just give something. Your time, your talent, your talent. Give whatever you can give to help someone less fortunate than yourself. Think on others. You know, think on others. Think on things that are pure and holy. Think on Jesus. And when you think about giving, think about the gift that he gave his life for us. So, Mother Valerie, good morning again. Family, good morning. Thank you for joining Mother Valerie and myself as we move forward in the Word of God, because that's what this is all about. It's not about me. It's not about Mother. It's about God, and it's about teaching and ministering his word, not ours, but God. So I say this morning, thank God that he woke you up. Thank God that he gave you shelter. Thank God that he gave you a roof over your head, clothes on your body, shoes on your feet, and most of all, that he gave you breath, the breath of life. God gave it to us. God did it. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. As the psalm says, tragedies are commonplace, are common diseases. Folks are slipping away to the thought that when Edwin Hawkins wrote that song all those years ago, that he was living in today's time. That song is timeless. Timeless. But he says, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Because it could have been me. In some cases, it was me. We've got to pray and thank God daily. And pray without ceasing and knowing that God hears you and that he loves you. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you to pray us in. Mother Valerie will be coming this morning from Ezekiel 47 to chapter 48. And she will be in the 135th Psalm, verses 8 to 14. And then I'll be back with the Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 9. And 1 Peter, chapter 4, with some life questions. So, Mother Valerie, pray us in this morning.
Father God, in Jesus' name, the temperature is 15. You did it again. You woke us up, started us on our day. It's a beautiful morning. I'm not outside, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful that I'm inside where there's heat, there's food, and a warm bed. God, I just give you praise and honor and glory for another day. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the word. Bless Pastor as she goes her way to work. Keep her warm, keep her encouraged, and let her know that she is loved and that you see all the things that she does. And in the end, she'll be called a good and faithful servant. We all want to be called that because this is why we're here, is to give you praise in Jesus' name. I want to say happy birthday to Evangelist Teresa. Today is her birthday. I don't know how old she is, but she don't look that old. But today is where we will be celebrating her birthday today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 47:1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Brought me out by the way of the north gate, led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. and there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the water, came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from Edom giving to the Elam. There will be places for the spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt along the bank of the river on this side. And that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, the leaves for medicine. Thus says the Lord God, these are the borders by which you shall divide the land as an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. You shall inherit it equally with one another, for I raised my hand in an oath to give it to your fathers, and this land shall fall to you as your inheritance. This shall be the border of the land on the north, from the great sea, by the road to Helon, as one goes to the other of Hamath, Bithron, Sidron, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamar to Hazar, Hazcot, which is on the border of Haran. Thus the boundary shall be from the sea to Hazar, Edom, the border of Damascus, and as far the north, northward, it is the border of Hamar. This is the north side. On the east side, you shall mark out the border from between Hophram and Damascus, and between Gilead and the land of Israel, along the Jordan, and along the eastern side of the sea. This is the east side. The south side toward the south shall be Tamar to the waters of Nebdah by Kedesh along the brook to the great sea. This is the south side toward the south. West side shall be great sea from the northern boundary until one comes to a point opposite Hamath. This is the west side. Thus you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. It shall be that you will divide it by lot as an inheritance for yourselves and for the strangers who dwell among you and who bear children among you. They shall be to you as native born among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall be that whatever tribe or the stranger dwells there, you should give him his inheritance, says the Lord God. Now these are the names of the tribes from the northern border along the road to Heflon at the entrance of Hamar to Hazar Eden, border of Damascus, northward in the direction of Hamar. There should be one section for Dan from his east to the west side by the border to Dan. From the east side to the west, one section for Asher by the border of Asher from the east side to the west, one section for Naphtali. By the border of Naphtali from the east side to the west side, one section for Manasseh. By the border of Manasseh from the east side to the west, one section for Ephraim. By the border of Ephraim from the east side to the west, one section for Reuben. By the border of Reuben from the east side to the west, one section for Judah. By the border of Judah from the east side to the west, there should be the district which you shall set apart 25,000 cubits in width and in length, same as one of the other portions from the east side to the west, with the sanctuary in the center. The district that you shall set apart for the Lord shall be 25,000 cubits in length, 10,000 in width. To the east of the priest, the holy district shall belong to the north, 25,000 cubits in length on the west, 10,000 in width on the east, 10,000 in width on the south, 25,000 in length. The sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the center. It should be for the priests of the son of Zadok, who are sanctified, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this district of land that is set apart shall be to them a thing most holy, by the border of the Levites. Opposite the border of the priests, the Levites shall have an area, 25,000 cubits in length, 10,000 in width. Its entire length shall be 25,000, and its width 10,000. And they shall not sell or exchange any of it. They may not alienate the best part of the land, for it is holy to the Lord. The 5,000 cubits in width that remain along the edge of the 25,000 shall be for general use by the city for dwelling, common land, and the city shall be in the center. These shall be its measurement. North side, 4,500 cubits. South side, 4,500. East side, 4,500. West side, 4,500. The common land of the city shall be to the north, 250 cubits. To the south, 250. To the east, 250. To the west, 250. The rest of the length alongside the district of the holy section shall be 10,000 cubits to the east, 10,000 to the west. It shall be adjoined to the district of the holy section, and its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. Workers of the city from all the tribes of Israel shall cultivate it. The entire district shall be 25,000 cubits by 25,000 cubits for square. You shall set apart the holy district with the property of the city. The rest shall belong to the prince on one side and on the other of the holy district of the city property next to the 25,000 cubits of the holy district as far as the eastern border, westward next to the 25,000 as far as the western border. Adjoined to the tribal portion, it shall belong to the prince. It shall be the holy district, and the sanctuary of the temple shall be in the center. Moreover, apart from the possession of the Levites and the possession of the city, which are in the midst of what belongs to the prince, that area between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall belong to the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west, Benjamin shall have one section by the border of Benjamin from the east side to the west. Simeon shall have one section by the border of Simeon from the east to the west. Issachar shall have one section by the border of Issachar from the east to the west. Zebulun shall have one section by the border of Zebulun from the east side to the west. Gad shall have one section by the border of Gad on the south side. Toward the south, the border shall be for from Tamar to the waters of Mebach by Kedesh, along the brook to the great sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lots as an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. And these are their portions, says the Lord God. These are the exits of the city on the north side, measuring 4,500 cubits. The gate of the city shall be named after the tribe of Israel. The three gates northwards, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, one gate for Levi, on the east side, 4,500 cubits. Three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan, on the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits. Three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, one gate from Zebulun, on the west side 4,500 cubits, with the three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asner, one gate for Natilah. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord. The Lord is there. Our title is Be Serious and Thoughtful in Prayer. The end of all things is at hand. The 12 tribes of Israel inherit their land, 25,000 cubits here with. We were talking about the 12 tribes of Israel getting their inheritance. Psalms 135, he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both the man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sigon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, gave their land as inheritance to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your name, O Lord, endures forever and have endured from generation to generation. God goes by many names, Yahshua, I am. God has many names, but he is what he am, and he am what he is to you. Ha. Amen. God is a great God. He will do what he said he's going to do, and you can call him by his name. At one time, they couldn't speak the name of God, and he just told them, say, I am that I am. God is a great God. Everything he do, we stand in awe, not being afraid of him because he's Father God. He's our God, Abba, Father. And we're not afraid. He don't want his children to fear him, not like that. He just wants you to respect him. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. And forever is a long time. Forever is a long time. Can you imagine anything enduring forever? There is no end. No end. It's forever. Your frame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The Lord have set aside a time to judge Satan, to judge his people. Judge Israel, he's going to judge you, he's going to judge me. We're all going to be judged. I mean, when we go to heaven, we're not going to be, you know, we made it to heaven, but then there's going to be gifts. And your works will be judged. Some will be burned up, but others will stand. So be serious and thoughtful in prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Pastor Jesse says, well, you know, I'm not ready to go yet. And Valerie, Mother Valerie says, I'm ready. I'm 80 years old. God is good all the time, and all the time he is good. And if he should call me home, I don't think I would fight it. I'll go. But Pastor said, no, not yet. But, you know, I don't think, well, they say that, I don't really know, but they say that we can have some say in how long we will live. You call those things that be not as though they were. Janice is still here because she always said, you know, I'm going to live until I'm 90. And now she's howling to go home to be with the Lord. But she's having what she said years and years and years ago. And we remind her of that. You said she's going to live to be 90. You're 82, so mm-hmm. you still got some time to go. God is just good. 8 years to go
for that new beginning, right, Mother? You got 8 years to go for her new beginning with the Lord. Come on.
Amen.
You know, Bible I say you get what you speak. my husband, God rest his soul, but he used to always say, when we first got married, he would say, oh, I'm not going to live to be. And first he said he wasn't going to live to be 40. 40 came, 40 went. And I said, see, God kept you. He said, but I still don't think I'm gonna live to be old. That's what he would always say. I'm like, I'll set up. I said, you too hungry to die. I'll still keep you because you got work to do. And, you know, and so, 50 hit. And I'm like, he retired from work. And then I said, well, look at God. I said, you're still here and you're 50. And, you know, and he just gave me a look because he got really sick not too long after that. He got very, very sick. And he didn't know if he was going to make it. And then he got diabetes. And with that, that's what took him out was the diabetes because he had already claimed that he wasn't going to live till old age. And I'm like, Lord, I'm living till old age. I want to see my sons with wives and children. And I want to see my granddaughters walk down the aisle. You know, I want to see my youngest granddaughter graduate from college and my grandson graduate from college. I got some work to do because he's only 6 years old. So I got at least another good 20 years, Lord. Come on now. Because I want to see him graduate from medical school as he is a petty college, whatever God calls him to do. But I want to see all those things. We got to bring it into fruition. That I want to see my sons walk down the aisle. I want to see them have wives and those good things so they can find favor with God and have children. You know, so, you know, those are the things that I'm asking God for, and I'm believing God for salvation for my children, salvation for my grandchildren. I'm believing God for all the things, you know, not today, Satan. My children will have wives. My sons will have wives. My daughter will be a successful sports medicine doctor. Come on now. We got to start claiming the things that we want them to do. My godson, his business will soar to international realms. I believe that. I've got everything covered, and we just got to believe that God can and God will do what he says he will do. And I'm believing God for those things. But we got to trust God and believe God will make a way out of no way and that things will work for our good. We just got to believe it. And we have to be content. Whatever it is that God has for us is for us. Don't try running after God and say, Lord, I need this, that, and the other. Ask God for what, Lord, you give me what you want me to have. You know, these are the things I need. But, Lord, whatever you want to give above and beyond, thank you. Thank God in advance for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. Thank God that you have shelter today. Thank God that it's warm and you feel good wherever you may be. Thank God that he gave you another birthday. You know, again, happy birthday to Evangelist Teresa. We love her to pieces. And I'm off today, so I will be at our lunch this morning because she's a good woman and she loves God. And always when God gives her a word, she speaks when God tells her to speak. And other times she just listens. I thank God for this woman of God going through a lot, but she still praises God through the midst. Through her valley, she's praising God. Cannot get out of a wheelchair very well, but she's praising God. Thanking God that she could have died, but God kept her for a reason and a purpose. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for her years of life. I know how old she is, but I'm not going to say that's for her to tell. Hallelujah. But I'm coming up on it. I got a few more months, and then we'll be the same age. But I'm grateful for those years that God has given me. I am thankful. But I said, God is good, and his mercy endures forever and all time. You got to tell the Lord, thank you. And the word of God that came in Proverbs 29:9 said, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. That's for real. You cannot deal with foolish people. They're ready to argue at the drop of a hat, whether it's in good, whether it's in bad, whether they laugh, they cannot. They're going to always be contentious. You know, and it tells us in the word of God, the If a wise man contends with a foolish man, and that's foolish man or woman, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace, and that's for real. Y'all know those folks that just always, is always something. Can't just be happy. Can't just tell God thank you. Always got to complain about everything. I wanted to let the Lord know, even whatever, God, when I have my message, I'll say, Lord, thank you for the overflow. And thank you for whatever it is you want me to give away, God. Let me know so I know what to act up to give away, because God is in charge of everything. And we got to thank him. Thank God today for his grace and his mercy. And as we go into the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Come on now. If you're suffering in the flesh, you have ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Come on now. As we were speaking, we've got to live in the will of God. Yes, I woke up this morning because it's cold and pain. Joints, every joint seeming to hurt. Pain wants to go absolutely numb and crazy. But I thank God, because every time my head goes numb, I get a word from God. And I can do nothing more than say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a word. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the way. Thank you, Lord, for giving me strength in my body that once I'm up, I'm ready to move. Ready to move and do what God says do. And it says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revels, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatry. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation.
My Lord.
Speaking evil of you. Yeah, them so-called friends that you used to hang with are still in the club, still dropping it like it off, still wobbling it back, breaking it down. All the ladies in the club, let me see you dance. Stay out there on the floor. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby. Wobbling like it ain't nobody's business. But understanding why you don't ever come out with us. You don't ever go out with us. That's not who I am anymore. I don't go to clubs. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't live that kind of life. We got to understand. We got to start speaking it and letting folks know we're not who we used to be. No, I'm not going to cuss you out. No, I'm not going to pull my knife on you. You know, that blade that women used to keep underneath their bra. You know what I'm talking about, mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come on now. Call it like it was. You know, back in the day, folks didn't play. You know, these kids today want to shoot somebody and be done with it. But back in the old days, folks would cut you up. You know, and I'm not talking to old people. You know, I knew a classmate that got cut up over a boy. I'm sorry. No man is worth your life. And no boy is worth getting cut up for. Sorry. It's not worth it. You got to understand, we can't live the life we used to live. Once you give your life to Christ, you got to give it 100. You got to say, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. Can't play with God. One foot in, one foot out. It's not hot God. It's for real. And it's your salvation. It's your life. You can't play with your life. Everybody else, you got to set yourself apart. You can't go down to Boo-Boo's house. You know what's going on at Boo-Boo's house. You can't go down there. Well, they just playing cards. No, they doing more than playing cards. You know what's going on. You can't go down there. Amen. You can't go visit Boo-Boo and them. You know, you got to set yourself apart. You got to be different. You can't walk in that flood. This is, because I'm going to tell you something. A flood will damage everything you got. This is, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. We're talking dead in Christ. Not necessarily dead in the body, but dead in the mind, dead in the spirit. just dead in your life. Everything is a blah. You know, how you doing? Blah. You know, always got a complaint. You know, dead in spirit. You know,
my Lord.
Can't say nothing. Every time folks look at you, you give them a look up and down. Don't say anything to me. I don't want to hear anything about your Jesus and all of that. Oh, it's dead in spirit.
My God.
Understand that the gospel was preached also to those that are dead. And that's why we say we are not a dead church. We're going to praise the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We can't be dead in spirit. We got to be dead in because when we die, we die. We want to have eternal life. I don't want to be just in the ground. I don't want to be just ashes and dust. I want to know I got eternal life and that this soul is going up, not going down to the pit. Come on now. We got to pray.
Amen.
And pray some more. We don't want to be dead in this life, and we don't want to be dead in the ground. We want to be right and righteous. Come on now. Sleep for eternity. I want to be the dead in Christ. I want to be one of them rising. And they look up, and they see us going up. I want to be the one of the ones going up with Jesus. Come on.
Amen.
Now. If I'm sleeping, I want to be woke. Come on now. Folks want to talk about, oh, Colin woke bad. Uh-uh. Let me be woke. I want to see what's going on. I don't want to be dead. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Come on. We want to live with God in the spirit. We want to, I speak life over all things. We got to speak life. You know, I had a plant that was kind of on its last leg, but I was like, well, you're on your last leg because your mama ain't watered you. I'm so sorry. And so I'm looking at my plant today, and it's so tall and green and pretty because I got off my hiney and started watering my babies. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. I done killed all kind of plants. But I'm like, every time I tried it, I was like, oh, this is going to be so pretty. And then don't water it because I come in, I'm tired. Put it in the wrong place so it's not getting enough sunlight. It's like, come on now. We got to get better. You know, we are not going to be a dead house. Come on now. Let's live. We're going to live it. We shall live and not die. Come on now. This is, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. There's our word today. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. This says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. We've got to love. Love changes the trajectory of life. Sometimes all a person wants is a smile, a hug, somebody to say, I love you. It's from the heart, not just a word. And they show it. They don't just say it. They show it that I love you. I want to be able to give flowers while the person is living, not wait for them to be gone. We want to give our flowers. I want my flowers while I'm still here. Thank
Amen.
You very much. It says this, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Ugh. Here they come again. I wish they were just so home. Why are they coming to my house? You know, we can't be like that. I'm being honest. I am. You know, when we had the what is your gift, you know, I took a gift assessment. And hospitality was not my gift. I'm just being honest. It was not. Because I am very private. I like privacy. I live where I live because I don't want to have a whole bunch of visitors. I'm sorry to say, God forgive me if I'm like that. I will be hospitable. I will treat you like you're a queen, but it'll be at your house. Because I like my privacy. I like living in the country. I like coming home and seeing deer in my front yard. I even have to deal with my wild cats that run around. But understand them wild cats, I love them. And I was told, if you want them to keep eating the mice, don't feed them. Just give them water. So that's what I do. I leave water for them, but don't feed them because I want them eating every mouse that comes near my door. Get a cat, you know, so that they feed. They get a good feeling too, you know. But I am about to put some warm water on my porch this morning so my cat has some water to drink because it is cold out there. You know, and we just got to say, thank you, God. Hell, God, thank you for his grace. But don't go, but if somebody comes, I'm going to be hospitable. You know, I'm going to be the best host they ever had. Because I'm not grumbling, because I'm grateful for what I got. And I'm going to be gracious to guests that come to my home. Because that is the way it should be. And it goes on to say, as each one has received a gift, minister it. Again, gift. What is your gift? I have a gift of teaching and ministry, the pastor. That's what my gift said that I have a gift for. You know, I want to do what God calls me to do. The minister to teach, to preach. Have faith. Have hope. Have love. And if it means being hospitable, I would be the most hospitable person ever without grumbling. Come on now. And it goes on to say, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Love, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad, exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, there it is, in other people's manners. God's telling us, we can't be busybodies. I can't be running over to mother's house saying, well, mother, you know, such and such and such. Girl, this is what happened, da-da-da-da-da. And you know what, mother, and da-da-da-da-da. Excuse me. Oh, and then I'm going to leave mother's house, and I got to go to pastor's house. And pastor, you know, da 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 da. I have to leave pastor's house, gotta go there's Trace's house. You know, da 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 da. Then I gotta go over to Tracy's house. Then I gotta go over to Miss Shannon's house. Then I gotta go over. I gotta drive all the way down to Mother Rita's house. And I gotta tell Mother Rita what's going on. And you know, Mother, da 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 da. Come on, a mother says it well from her pastor. When you mind your business for 6 months of the year, and then you mind your business for the next 6 months of the year, guess what? You have minded your own business for all 12 months. And that's what we need to do. Mind our own business. I don't want to know what Sister Such and Such is doing. I don't need to know that I saw her coming out of the club. That's between her and God.
Amen.
It is not my business. We got to learn to mind our own business. You know, when you say things, you don't know who you're hurting. When people go and they say, well, you know, they claim they like you, but they really don't. They claim they this and that, but they really aren't. And they, girl, you know, she's just so phony. She's just so phony. But yet they try to act like they so holy. Excuse me. You don't know anybody's heart. You don't know anybody's spirit. Who are you to judge? That's what this word has been teaching us from James to Peter. Judging. Busybodies, evildoers, we got to mind our own business. And it says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Come on, it starts with us in the church. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, Creator. We got to do good. Don't be evil and nasty. God sees everything we do, and he is not pleased with foolishness. He We got to trust God, and we got to walk right and righteous. And as we go into the Word of God, what Dr. Stanley has told us, Mother Valerie told you what he said in Ezekiel chapter 47 and 9. They will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And we know that river is living water, the living water of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for his living water. And as we go into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Had he chosen to do so, God could have taken us immediately to heaven when we placed our faith in Christ. But he didn't. Why not? He wants us for him by showing them how his power changed our lives. How do we reach others for God? We show them how he has changed us. Change me, oh God. As Pamela Mann says, make me brand new. I want that feeling. I want to be changed. Change me, Lord. Change me. Let me be a brand new me. We want to be better than we were today, better than we were yesterday. In chapter Peter 4 and 4, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. People who knew us before we placed our faith in Christ simply will not understand why we no longer want to participate in some of the ungodly things we did before we found God's love. Don't listen to their talk. Don't listen to it. Don't let nobody talk you back into the club, talk you back into a life that you have given up. Don't let nobody talk you back into that. I try to make you feel like you less than. You are better. You are not dead. You are living, and you're living for the Lord. Verse 4 and 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Even in the best of churches and the most godly of homes, things go wrong. Come on now. What do we do then? The place to start and end is to choose to imitate God's love to us and bear with one another. Colossians 3 and 13. This is our word. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. How do we do that? By prayer, by supplication, by going to God. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And what God gave me was be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. We don't know when our time is coming. We got to be watchful and prayerful. We got to be watchmen on the wall. We got to be watchmen for the Lord. We got to understand we have assignments to do. This is my assignment. This is Mother Valerie's assignment, to teach and preach the word of God. That's what we do. Evangelists are to evangelize. That is their job. That is their assignment. Whatever your assignment is, just do it. If your assignment is to get your family saved, just do it. And it goes, and Dr. Stanley says, do you realize that it is God's will for us to suffer at some points along the way of life's journey? We are appointed to it. First Peter chapter 3, verse 3, and are to glory in it, Romans 5 and 3. Only trust in God enables us to endure. And when we go back to some life questions, how does God use suffering in our life? We wonder sometimes, Lord, why me? I've been there, and I asked the question. I said, Lord, why me? Why me, God? Why do I have to go through all of this? I do everything you tell me to do. Why do I have to go through this? And God told me one night, I woke up in the middle of the night with a, why not you? Why not you?
Amen.
Who made me better than anybody else that I don't have to go through? God said, I saved your life for a purpose. Got to go to work. I didn't save you to sit on your heart, sit on your weary, to stay in the depths of despair and depression. Get up. I was like, one night, God scared me. Get up. And I'm like, okay.
Amen.
And I'm like, Lord, why do you keep waking me up at 3 in the morning? Why do you keep waking me up? I mean, woke up this morning, 3 o'clock, 3:05, new beginning, 3 plus 5, new beginning. I'm like, okay, God, is this a new beginning that you're going to be waking me up every day at 3 in the morning? And then God sent me to a prophet. And it just happened to be flipping around on YouTube. Prophet said, if you are waking between 3 and 5 in the morning, it means that you are chosen. And I thought, wow. And Sister Carolyn was up early this morning sending out her word too. And I thought, so are you saying that we've chosen God? And this is what it said. It says, the first, try and remember your last dream. Three things you should do when you wake up between 3 and 5. The first one is to remember your last dream. The second one is to meditate. Things you're to do when you wake up between 3 and 5. You got to remember your dream. Try to remember your last dream. To meditate and to make declarations. And I thought, wow, God, that is some interesting stuff. So I have to write down some things. And I know I haven't been doing it because I just found this. And I thought, wow, what a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
And, you know, we have to remember that God is waking us up for a purpose and a reason, because you are chosen by God. We got to remember that we are chosen. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You got to remember who it is. So God wakes you up. He says, suffering is not new to the Christian life or to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, or any other saints who lived all down through the ages. Philippians 3, 8 through 11, 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. When we think about why God allows trials into our lives, we know that God uses our suffering in several ways. Number one, God uses suffering to get our attention. Affliction helps us to refocus on God. God sees that we are moving towards sin and disobedient. He allows us to experience pressure so that we will go back to him. Come on now. Number two, God uses suffering to develop personal righteousness and maturity. As Christians, we are often unaware of the sinful activities that remain in our lives. God develops maturity in us through us and reveals lingering issues that he wants us to resolve through trials. We learn perseverance and steadfastness in our trials. Even though we suffer, we know that the Creator is developing his awesome character in our lives. Number three, God uses suffering for the purpose of pruning. Pruning is God's process of cutting back the useless parts of our life that we will never be productive. In his kingdom, he cuts away our attitudes and actions so that godly ones may grow, thus maximizing our potential as children of God. Number four, God uses suffering to teach us obedience. Even Jesus had to learn obedience. He was always perfect, yet always learning obedience. That's why we must focus on what God is teaching us. We must accept his discipline because it is transforming us into the likeness of our Savior. Number five, God uses suffering to teach us to trust him. Faith, when tested by fire, is more precious than gold, which is perishable. God loves us so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to teach us to trust him. Number six, God uses suffering to bring about continuous dependence upon his grace. Paul wrote about the incredible lesson he learned when he was at his weakest in human strength. He was at his strongest in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. God is glorified most in our weakness because we must rely on him. Christ uses all of us to demonstrate his power to the world. Number seven. God allows suffering to purify the heart and to make us holy. We share in the holiness of Christ. Therefore, God's goal for us is that we be like Jesus, that we manifest Christ's life in our body. Through our suffering, God purifies our hearts allowing his holiness to shine through our new beginning. God allows suffering to teach us to give thanks in everything. Being thankful for suffering isn't easy. We may not feel thankful, but we should have gratitude knowing that God uses our suffering. We also give thanks knowing that no matter what happens to us there here on earth, in the end, we will be with our Savior in heaven. We will wipe the tears from our eyes. Isaiah 25:8. So we got to understand that everything is for a purpose and a reason. So to write
Amen.
It down, number one, God uses suffering to get our attention. Number two, God uses suffering to develop personal righteousness and maturity. Number three, God uses suffering for the purpose of pruning. Got to cut away some things. Number four, God uses suffering to teach us obedience. Number five, God uses suffering to teach us to trust him. Number six, God uses suffering to bring about continuous dependence upon his grace. Number seven, God allows suffering to purify the heart and to make us holy. Number eight, God allows suffering to teach us to give thanks in everything. Thank God today for his grace, for his mercy, for his love. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. All the negativity in the world, just let it flow, but don't let it flow on you. Don't allow the enemy to bring negativity into your heart today. Trust in God, and above all things, pray. Pray and pray some more, and give. Give to those that are in need. You know who they are. I will put someone in your heart for you to just say, God told me to bless you and bless them with a humble heart. And as a word from my sister today, good morning. Always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. That was from Sister Carolyn this morning. And again, I woke her up too because she sent out her message at 3:50 this morning. So I tell you, God will give you what you need in the middle of the night, in the dawn of the morning. It's the last watch, that 3 to 5 is the last watch, because it's at 5 o'clock folks start getting up. So the last watch is what God gives you because you're chosen. So I say to you this morning, if you're waking up 3 in the morning to 5 in the morning, get up, thank God. Try to remember that dream. Meditate. And go
Amen.
Before the throne. Go before the throne. And again, this morning, it's a wrap, Mother, but I got to do this. So this is to Evangelist Teresa, who has just left us this morning. I'm going to have to just call her personally and sing her happy birthday song. So happy birthday to Evangelist Teresa today. Mother Valerie,
Amen.
I thank you for your time, for your presence this morning. Oh, wait a minute. She back. Evangelist, I thought we had lost you. Good morning. Good morning. Evangelist Teresa, good morning.
Well,
Evangelist, are you muted?
Okay, there I am. Here I am.
There you are. Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you guys for the birthday wishes.
You disappeared as I was just about to harmonize and give you a happy birthday song.
Yes. You're going to be there today, right?
I am. I sure am.
Okay. And Mother's coming, I know. My mom's going to be there.
She's coming too.
That was supposed to be a surprise.
No, she called and invited. She's calling and inviting folks. It's not a surprise. So anyway. All right. So let's sing that birthday song. Okay. It's your birthday. I was about to go somewhere. But happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Good morning. clear the throat. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Evangelist Teresa. Happy birthday to you. Night, my best morning,
morning.
Happy birthday, my sister. We love you.
Thank you, my dear. I love you guys.
Thank you
so much
for your support. And I lost another
yes,
caller
have,
just
I
put up, but I lost
just
him.
A second because I had a call come in.
All right. Well, we're happy
yes.
you're here. I lost the caller that had come on. I'm not sure what happened to him. There they are. There it is.
Good morning.
Good morning, Minister
Good morning.
Shannon. How are you?
I'm truly blessed and highly favored by God. I just want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Evangelist Teresa. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
God,
I can say
you.
One thing. As
today
many,
so.
Many, many more birthdays.
Yes.
And good health and good wealth.
Yes.
In Jesus'
guys,
name.
Today,
mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Angela, God
today,
bless you.
Say something.
I broke a curse. All firstborn children were the ones to die in my family at 64, before 64 and 60. God broke that curse to me, and I thank
Amen.
Him. I've been flicking them left and right.
Woo, praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You
said glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Him in a prayer.
You said
well,
live
we
and not die. Hallelujah.
We speak your life. Hallelujah.
Life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We believe. We
I
believe.
Got
we
work
believe.
To do
thank you so much.
All right,
Amen.
You guys have a blessed day. I'll see you guys later.
Everybody, have a great day. Love you all. Thank you for the birthday wishes, the birthday songs for our beautiful evangelist. We ask God to continue watching over her, continue blessing her, continue giving her strength in her body, mind, and spirit that she
I
will
agree.
Walk. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I agree.
Jesus.
I agree.
Woo, we believe
in
it. We trust
name.
In God
Hallelujah.
For complete healing. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name, Father God, we thank
in
you
Jesus
for this
name.
Day. We ask you, Lord God, to cover our sisters in Christ, our brothers
yes,
in Christ.
God. Yes,
asking
God.
You,
yes,
Lord,
God.
To lead and guide that we, as we go with a heart of giving today, that we never forget, Lord God, that you gave the greatest and best gift ever.
Hallelujah.
You gave your son. And so,
yes,
Father God.
God,
we lift up the name of Jesus this morning. We lift up all things, God, that comes from you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor and glory, God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Lord, watch between me and them as we are absent from each other. And it's in your son's holy and great name. We pray, asking blessings upon blessings over your children and over all of their children's children, God, over every heart, mind, and spirit. That we remember that this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing in it, God, because you blessed us to be on this side of the earth and not in the dirt. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for eternal life. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And we say together, amen, amen, as we pray over our brothers and our sisters, those that are in Israel, those that are in the Palestinian, those that are in Ukraine and Russia, God, we pray for all those in harm's way that didn't have to be, God. We ask you lifting up, let more hostages be released on both sides of all these countries, God. Watch over the motherland as well, God, over all the countries of Africa that are also going through famine, through war, through death, through pestilence, God. We ask your blessings and your grace. Cover this planet, God. Cover our world, God. Give us, continue giving us air to breathe because you are the song we sing, Father God. And it's in Jesus' name, again, we lift up, thanking you again, Lord, for another day. And we say amen, amen, amen. Family, thank you so much for tuning in. We went a little bit over, but it's grace. It's 8:05, and this is our final closing. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Mother.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a good rest. I'll see you this afternoon.